Good morning. And welcome to the First Parish of Stowe in Acton, a welcoming Unitarian Universalist congregation. It's great to be back. Thank you for welcoming me back. But you know, I asked only one thing of you before I went away. Do you remember what it was? Get rid of the snow before I came back. What greets me returning? So nice of you to save some for me, really. Anyway, it is really wonderful to be back. As you know, I was gone a couple of months on sabbatical in Mexico, and it was really a wonderful opportunity for me to reflect a little bit on the last few months of ministry here with you before I retire. It really was a good time for me to be able to collect some thoughts and bring that all together. Today is a very exciting day. As you know, we will not be having our 11 o'clock service as we usually do, but we will be having a wonderful ordination service for Eileen Gillespie at 2 o'clock. And I hope some of you will come back for that. There will be child care for it as well. And our preacher today and leading most of the service today is the Reverend Christian Schmidt. Christian is the minister in Berkeley, California, a co-ministry with his wife. And the reason he's particularly here today is because before Eileen came to us as an intern, she was a field education student at the church in Malden, where he was then the minister. And he will be preaching this afternoon at the ordination. So hope you can join us for that. And I'd like to turn the service over to Christian to get us started with the call to worship.
Thank you. I want to add my own welcome and invite you all again this afternoon. If you like what I do this morning, it'll only get better. And if you don't like it, I'm saving the good stuff for this afternoon. In any case, our opening words today come from Eric Williams. He writes, "What does it mean to bless? To bless does not mean saying magical words, changing the mind of God, or altering the course of the cosmos. To bless does mean reminding each other of our gifts, remembering the wisdom that is within us, and recalling our common purpose. The choices we make and the work we do are how we bless each other and the world. So may the words we say and the songs we sing name the wholeness we are and still yet seek." And so with that, we're going to light our chalice and start our worship. I say these words. This flame we light is a living thing, held gently by our chalice. So too is this church a living thing, held by our love and stewardship. And so I invite you to rise, embody your spirit, and join in singing hymn number 308, "The Blessings of the Earth and Sky."
The blessings of the earth.
is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Please be seated. Amen. And now please be attentive to a message for all ages from Reverend Schmidt.
How y'all doing? I am not a morning person, and even 7 days after we came out from the West Coast, I'm still not quite there, so I need a lot of energy all today, I think, to get this energy going. So I want to talk today about blessing. And I would imagine that most of us, the only time we say something like bless you in our lives is
after somebody sneezes,
right? Have we ever thought about that? That's kind of a weird thing to do. You don't say it when somebody coughs or when somebody falls down or I don't know what, you know? And I had never thought about how strange this was. In fact, I come from a culture where actually we usually say Gesundheit, right? Which is just the German form of that. I'm from a German family, a few generations back anyway. Anyway, I had never thought about how strange this is until I was in Japan. As part of my ministerial training, I spent a couple weeks at Tsubaki Grand Shrine, which is a historic Shinto shrine there. The UUA, the Inter-Universal Association, has had a long association with them as part of something called the International Association for Religious Freedom. None of that really matters to the story, except that I was in Japan. And one of the priests there was really trying to improve his English. And he spoke pretty good English. You know, we could have a real conversation, which I speak like 5 words of Japanese, so it's a good thing he spoke English. And we were just talking, mostly just talking for a couple hours and having conversational experience, which is something he doesn't get to do every day with a native English speaker. And at some point he asked me about this thing, because he had clearly heard about it before, that you say, bless you, after somebody sneezes. And this was an entirely foreign concept to him. And he asked me why you do that. And I thought for a minute, and I said, to be honest, I have no idea, except that you're supposed to do this. Like, everybody's taught to do this. You say bless you after somebody sneezes. And I've since researched, and there's some historic ideas that, you know, you expelling something out of yourself, it gives an opportunity for evil spirits to come in or something. I'm not sure I actually buy that as the real reason. I don't know where this comes from. But as I was explaining to him, it struck me that this is a very weird practice we do. And that most of us, that's probably the only time, again, that we say something like bless you. And I think that's too bad, because blessing is wonderful, right? We want to give our good spirits people all the time. We want to say, not that we think some supernatural blessing is necessarily going to come upon you and change your life, but that our best thoughts are with you, that we want only the best for you, that, as Eric Williams says, that we want all the wholeness that is in each of us to come out and to be present. So I encourage you, if someone coughs or if someone just walks past you, there's nothing wrong with saying bless you to them. This is okay. You can say this. You can say, I want all the best for you. I want to bless you right now. And as the service goes on, we'll talk a little bit more about what that can mean for us. So bless you, whether you are sneezing today or not, and all the best for each and every one of you. I invite you to take just a moment to prepare yourself for our time of prayer, to relax your body into those pews as best suits you, and attempt to still your possibly busy mind. Today's prayer is a blessing from my colleague and friend, the Reverend Robin Tanner. She writes, Today we share in a blessing for losers, risk takers, all failures far and wide. Blessed are they who fall in the mud, who jump with gusto and rip the pants, who skin the elbows and bruise the ego. For they shall know the sweetness of risk. Blessed are they who make giant mistakes, whose intentions are good but impact has injured, who know the hot sense of regret and ask for mercy. For their hearts will know the gift of forgiveness. Blessed are they who have seen a D or an F or C or any letter less than perfect. Those who are painfully familiar with the red pen and the labels as less than, for they know the wisdom in the imperfect. Blessed are they who try again, who dust off, who wash up, who extend the wish for peace, who return to sites of failure, who are dogged in their pursuit, for they will discover the secret to dreams. Blessed are they who refuse to listen to the naysayers, for their hearts will be houses for hope. Blessed are they who see beyond the surface of another, for they will be able to delight in the gift of compassion. Blessed are they who stop running the race to help a fellow traveler, who pick up the fallen, who stop for injured life, for they shall know the kindness of strangers. And blessed are they who wildly, boldly abandon winning, for they shall know the path of justice. And so for all these and for all those prayers that were said earlier and all those held quietly in our hearts and minds, let us take a few moments of silence. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the Reverend Dr. Rebecca Ann Parker. She writes, "Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of the hands, the riches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting. Any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, do the work of justice, or offer love. Any of these can draw down the prison door, hoard bread, abandon the poor, obscure what is holy, comply with injustice, or withhold love. And so you must answer this question: what will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world can take you into solitude to search for the sources of power and grace, native wisdom, healing, and liberation. More, though, the choice will draw you into community. The endeavor shared, the heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, the importance of keeping faith, the life of ritual and praise, the comfort of human friendship, the company of earth, the chorus of life welcoming you. None of us alone can save the world, but together, that is another possibility waiting." So ends our reading. Yeah, I want to invite everyone to stand. Mike helpfully asked me how I wanted this hymn to be done, since it's very short, if you'll open up to 1009. And I like to do it in something of the style of the Taizé community. It's not a Taizé hymn, but it definitely works that way. So we're going to sing it. As you feel moved, join in with any of the parts whenever you feel. And we're going to sing it until we think we're done. Please be seated. I could just sing that song for another half hour and I'd be good. But. So earlier I read something by my colleague Robin Tanner, and she riffed, as you probably know, on Jesus' Beatitudes. The blessed are those who do something, for they will get something, right? I would imagine that all but the very least churched people, rather, in our culture have probably been exposed to those sayings of Jesus's. Blessed are the meek is the most famous. And in them, Jesus does something really radical. He upends our conventional idea about how the world works. He says, no, it's not the rich people who seem blessed, it's actually the poor who are really blessed. And the meek, and basically a whole bunch of people that you or I maybe might not have generally thought of as doing really well, as being really blessed. I think this is still really controversial today in our world, and it was maybe even more so in Jesus's time, where the idea that your material blessings would match your spiritual life. Actually, that sounds just as controversial today as it did for Jesus, didn't it, really? We hear this idea all the time, that if you are living a right and good life, that you'll be blessed with a new car or something. I don't believe that. I don't think that that's the point of leading a right life anyway. But I say this not to talk about that passage of Scripture about which much better preachers than I have said many far more interesting and wonderful things, and you can look some of them up if you want to know more. I recommend it, in fact. But it's that blessed part that jumped out to me, because in my experience of Unitarian Universalism, we don't talk a whole lot about blessing. And no doubt for some of us, it does conjure up those images of something supernatural, or alternatively, that word has been used to hurt us. I come from a culture in which something like, oh, bless your heart, is not a nice thing to say to someone. To put it politely, it's a way of saying that they're so hopeless they need a blessing, right? But I want to reclaim this blessing thing because it's been really powerful in my life. I remember long before I was a Unitarian Universalist, though I say that sort of because my mother grew up in a Unitarian church. I certainly knew what it was. But anyway, about 20 years ago, I went to Italy. I had the blessing of being able to go on a trip to Italy. And one of the things we did was visit the Vatican. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but one of the things I learned from our tour guide, who I think was just trying to sell merchandise, but is that you can buy an object. I bought this little rosary with a picture of John Paul II on it, on the outside of the box, not on the rosary itself. That would be a different thing. And you can take it into the square, and on certain mornings, the Pope will come up to the papal balcony in the papal apartments and say a short blessing out to the community in four languages. And the thing that our tour guide impressed upon us very strongly was that if you, you know, hold up your object at that time, then it has been personally blessed by the Pope, albeit from about 300 yards away. Again, I think in some respects this was a sales tool to sell some merchandise, but I bought it. I bought the rosary. For many years I had it. Sadly, I think it's been lost in one of my family's many moves in recent years, but it was a really interesting and powerful thing to me in some ways. I'm not Catholic, never been Catholic. I don't pray using a rosary, but I get the symbolism of it. I get how powerful that can be to have a physical tool that helps you in your spiritual life. This is something that Unitarian Universalists don't do very well, which is why we cling so hard to the few ritualistic things we do have. We love to light our chalice. I've heard very few Unitarian Universalists ever complain about lighting a chalice, even though that does speak to me of some of the ritualistic things that they would complain about if it came from another religion. I hear a few giggles, so maybe you know what I'm saying there. So let's talk about blessing. I love this blessing thing. I think I've said enough about it this morning already about why I love it, but let me talk about it in three different ways. Because I think that these are the things that can speak to us as Unitarian Universalists and to people everywhere. So the first way I want to talk about is blessing as thankfulness. One of the things that I think is most core to our Unitarian Universalist theology is the idea of gratitude. That however much or little we have, we should be thankful for it. And we should be thankful for the idea that we are still alive in this day and place, that we are together, that we have one another to be with. And so when I say blessings, when I think about the idea of blessing, this is what I think about. It's a blessing to be here on a Sunday morning, even though I've never met any of you before. It's a blessing to be together in a community that I know welcomes me and wants me to be a part of it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for so much else. I'm thankful to be alive today. I'm thankful that I'm relatively healthy. I'm thankful that I have two beautiful boys. I'm thankful for so much. And even in the times when I had less in my life, I was thankful as often as I could be for what I did have. I think sometimes we get into conversations about privilege, about how much we do or do not have, but the truth is that most of the people in my life who have had the least materially were still some of the most thankful for what they did have. I don't think that your amount of gratitude is correlated to your income. Nor should it be. However much or little we have, we should give thanks for it and give a blessing to the things we do have and to the people who are in our life. In our family, one of the ways we do this is by saying a short grace before every meal. We bless the food. We bless the hands that help bring it to our table. We're so thankful to have that food. Another way to think about blessing. I've already mentioned it. Blessing as ritual. Because, as I hinted earlier, you use secretly love ritual. We just don't like any of the rituals that came from somewhere else that had bad connotations for us. So we're leery of the Pope, though when a new Pope is named and he seems kind of cool, we're suddenly really into that. We don't like all those candle lighting things that some congregations do, except we really like the way we light candles here, right? We're leery of all that praying thing, but we love sharing our joys and concerns with one another, which is just another way of saying the same thing. One of my mentors in ministry, the Reverend Laurel Hallman, who for many years was the senior minister of our very large church in Dallas, had a funny, it was funny to me anyway, a funny story about this, is when she came there, she developed this very short ceremony for doing child dedications, right, for welcoming children into our congregations. Maybe y'all do that here, the same thing. It was very short, but one of the things she did was to bless each child as they were being dedicated. This was wonderful. People loved it. It was great. She gave a rose to them. And then after a little while of this, she started having adults come one by one into her office saying, I really wish I could be blessed like that. And literally, she heard the same exact sentiment from people over and over again, who all seemed a little bit ashamed almost to say this, that they wanted to be like the babies who got blessed and got a rose. And so finally, they started doing adult blessings. She slightly altered the formula for how she did it, and they welcomed every new member with that blessing for her entire 20-plus years there. Which gets me back to, UU's secretly love ritual and blessing. We just don't like to admit this. And the final way I want to talk about blessing, after I get a drink of water here, is as growth, spiritual growth. We struggle with this because, of course, real spiritual growth means real transformation in our lives, and human beings, in my experience on this earth, do not like to change. And transformation is just a big old word for change, right? We like the idea of being better or deeper or whatever word you want to use, but we less like the changes and work we have to do to make that happen. If you've ever done a church building project, you actually probably know exactly what I mean by this. People love the idea of new, beautiful space as long as it means nothing else ever has to change. My internship congregation in Needham built a beautiful, lovely new social hall a few years ago and had the most knockdown, drag-out fight you have ever seen over whether to paint the outside white or light yellow. The yellow folk won, by the way. It is still something you do not want to bring up there. So we're very attached to the way things are, even as we talk about spiritual transformation. So that's why I want to talk about blessing as growth. If we can think of the idea that we want the very best for ourselves and for one another, that we want to be blessed and we want to offer blessings, then perhaps we can do a little bit of this. This afternoon, we're going to have the privilege and the pleasure and the great responsibility of ordaining Eileen Gillespie into our ministry. And one of the things we do as part of that is a laying on of hands. This is a physical symbol of how we are blessing her and welcoming her as a religious leader. This happened at my ordination. It happened again at my installation. And in fact, when I left my first congregation, I was given a stole, not the one I'm wearing today, but a stole that was comprised entirely of handprints. Everyone in the congregation made their handprint. It was cut out in fabric, and these were sewn together. So that when I wear that stole, I literally have all of those people blessing me, putting their hands upon me, laying their hands, giving me a blessing to go out in the world and do ministry. I think that this is the sort of way we can think about blessing as an opportunity for growth in our lives, that we can go and be and do more than we are right now. And so in my invitation to y'all today and the words that went out, I invited you to bring any sacred objects you have that you might want blessed. I don't know if anybody did. I hope so. No? It's okay. You can hold them aloft. I'm not the Pope, but you can hold them up. And so in our religious tradition, it's not just ministers and religious professionals who have the power to bless. Each of us has to bless another and to bless the world. And so I invite all of you to participate in the blessing. These words are ordinary, but we make blessing real through our shared intention. And so if you can, and there's enough of us here, we should be able to, I invite you, as you're willing, to make a physical connection to the other people in the congregation. You can hold hands or touch a shoulder or touch elbows if you're having a cold today. It's okay. It's great. Okay. And so as we have been blessed, so we bless each other to be blessings. We breathe in, and we breathe out. This breath we share with all things that breathe. I invite you to feel the love of each other, of the universe, flowing through this community and into you and out into the world again. Let that love, our love, flow outward to its height and depth and broad extent. Because each of us is more than we know and more beloved than we know. So take up that power that is yours to create safe havens and to make of this world a heaven. I invite you to give hope to those you encounter, that they may know safety from inner and outer harm, be happy and at peace, healthy and strong, caring and joyful. In other words, to be the blessings that each of us already are. May that be enough. Amen. So as you turn back around, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and bless us once again with song number 86, Blessed Spirit of My Life.
We want to both offer you our benedictions this morning. May the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us, now and always.
And may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rain fall softly on your fields. And until we meet again, my friends, may God hold you in the palm of God's hand. Go in peace.
As life lays its task.